your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. The sounds of gristle on dry leaves are not like sounds of insults between pedestrians. Those women laughing in the window do not sound like air conditioners on the blink. The river turtle does not breathe like a slithering boa constrictor. The roar of a bull is not like the cackle of a hyena. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. The growl of a sea leopard is not like the teething cry of a baby. The slash of a barracuda is not like the gulp of a leaping whale. The speech of a tiger shark is not like the bark of an eaglefish. The scent of a gardenia is not like the scent of a tangerine. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Find it. Find it. Find it. Find it. Find it.
This, or somewhere like it, is home for more than 350,000 Haitians. 3 years after the earthquake that killed 200,000 and made 10 times that number homeless, the country's housing situation is catastrophic. In 2010, the world's governments promised money to resettle the displaced. Much of it never materialised. There are almost 500 camps across the country. Most lack water, sanitation, or waste disposal. Cholera has killed thousands, but the people in the camps are stuck. And that's another problem. Even these poor conditions aren't secure. Tens of thousands of people have been forcibly evicted, and tens of thousands more are at risk. As land is reclaimed, the displaced are displaced again, coming home to find their shelter gone and all that they had left in the world missing or under a pile of rubble. After 3 years, the Haitian authorities have to tackle the crisis properly, and the international community has to help. It was a natural disaster that caused the problem. It's human inaction that allows it to continue.
She got hot, got happy, got hot, got thrilled, got hot, got degreed, got hot, got silly, got hot, got possessive, got hot, got disappointed, got hot, got hurt, got hot, got nurtured, got hot, got bitter, got hot, got drunk, got hot, got drugged, got hot, got rastered, got hot, got pregnant, got hot, got rejected, got hot, got indifferent, got hot, got lost, got hot, got born again, got hot again, got political again, got hot again, got academically ambitious again, got hot again, she got hot, 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 hot again. Got to be a hot skeleton in the latest hot fashion. Got to be a hot feminist turning into a hot cultural investigative gadfly. Got hot, got hot, she got hot, she got hot. She got hot and got like a hot exile flying into alcoholic tantrums on hot buses. Got hot, got hot, got hot. She got hot, she got sad, she got hot, she got crazy, she got hot, she got athletic, she got hot, she got impatient, she got hot, she got used, she got hot without sweat, she got hot without heat, she got hot like a hot young volcano, got hot like a hot old bubbling crater, got hot, she got hot and got to screaming, rescue me, she got hot. And got to shouting, open the door, Richard! She got hot, hot, hot. She got hot, hot, hot. She got hot and got bound to a sewing machine. She got hot and got glued to a cash register. She got hot and got tied to a computer. She got hot and got stuck on the global assembly line. She got hot. She got hot. She got aggressive. She got hot. She got bored. She got hot. She got frigid, she got hot. She got harassed, she got hot. She got depressed, she got hot. She got angry, she got hot. She got hot and so much alone and hot and so inwardly focused and hot and numb and hot and raw and hot and so unprepared to be so hot and so limited and hot and so dominated by the thought of being so hot, all because a certain person didn't say, I will love you forever, baby. Don't be so hot. She got hot, hot, hot. He got happy before he got cold. He got fed before he got cold. He got excited before he got cold. He got brokenhearted and warlike, and then he got cold. He got cold, got self-righteous, got cold, got distorted, got cold, got authoritative, got cold and got to going berserk in the workplace, got cold and got to pimping in the project, got cold and got to screaming for revenge, got cold and got to handing out punishment, got cold and got to setting up situations that would fail, got cold, got frustrated, got no recognition, got cold, got high, got cold, got forgotten. Got cold like a cold mercenary, got cold like a cold hyper fastidious hotel manager, got cold like a cold militarized supervisor of clerks. He got cold like a cold political hustler in the street, got cold like a cold over the hill CIA agent. He got cold, cold, cold. He got cold without ever having imagined that he'd be so cold and wooden and cold and untropical and cold and plastic and cold and mute and cold and ferocious and cold and rigid and cold while watching the sunshine and cold while kissing himself in the mirror and cold and removed and cold and swollen and cold and dependent on being so cold. He got cold. He got cold and got to screaming, it's a man's world. He got cold and got to hip-hopping like a peacock. He got cold and got to hollering, I'm a macho man. I'm a macho man. He got cold and got glued to a subway booth. Got cold and got tied to a Department of Sanitation. Got cold and got pinned to a patrol car. Got cold and got taped to a bar stool. Got cold and got engaged to a pawn shop. Got cold and got married to a racetrack. Got critically cold. Got artistically cold. Got miscellaneously cold. Got cold and so outwardly focused. And cold and mean. And cold and greedy. And cold and selfish. And cold and so concerned about appearing to be so cold. All because somebody stole his lollipop. And no one could chip through the ice to say, I'll love you forever, baby, don't be so cold. He got cold, cold, cold. He got cold. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Bernardo Coleman.
This is Saturday Morning Live. This is Mally, aka DocuVixen. It is our first show back in the new year. And I just wanted to let everybody know this is the anniversary of the earthquake that happened in Haiti. 300,000 people died at 4 p.m., I believe it was in the afternoon. So I'm going to go to a Fault Lines documentary. Actually, it's a really good one, and it's called Haiti and the Politics of Rebuilding. And when Fault Lines was actually still around, it's actually not around anymore, which is pretty sad. But we're going to go to that documentary, and we'll return at the top of the hour for Amandla.
One month after the earthquake in Haiti, a new normal is taking shape. The symbols of the old order are in ruins. The new landscape already looks like it's always been there. More food is being distributed, though never enough. Markets are open, but prices have spiked, a disaster tax on the informal economy. In the Haitian government and in the conference rooms of foreign powers, the redesign of the country has already begun. What's the vision, and who will benefit from the reconstruction? What kind of future is being planned for this nation of survivors? According to the Haitian official in charge of clearing collapsed buildings, it would take 12 hours a day for an entire year to remove all the rubble in Port-au-Prince, if the country had a fleet of 1,000 trucks. The long project of rebuilding Haiti has barely begun. But with billions of dollars of international aid and investment expected, the debate over the vision of a new Haiti is already in full swing.
It's time to really say Haiti has a red carpet for foreign investments. Please come in.
Il faut absolument avoir d'autres modèles d'industrialisation. Il faut avoir d'autres modèles d'investissement. Et les investissements doivent être liés d'abord au marché national, aux besoins de la population.
And Haiti has very low labor costs. So, I mean, there's an opportunity there.
Comme ça, dans le Vinjouni, dans le moment, ça, première barrière qui a fait, c'est travailler. Donc, à Gildia, parce que nous avons besoin de manger kounia. Et pas vous et sinistré. C'est pas, on a parlé de l'argent pour nous travailler plus bien.
We need to rebuild our state. We need a strong state. And we are not about to accept a coup d'état.
With the Haitian government diminished since the disaster, the UN and the US have taken the lead in relief efforts. Delays in the delivery of aid have received a lot of attention, especially when food distribution goes wrong. But in those places where aid is being delivered successfully, there are principles at work that could guide the larger project of Haiti's reconstruction.
Haiti should not be pitied, please, should be helped, not pitied, not looked down upon, but probably looked at for some new lessons in solidarity, in discipline, in resilience.
Most of the people made homeless in Port-au-Prince are living in hundreds of ad hoc camps. Many are administered by neighborhood committees that oversee food and water distribution, construction, sanitation, and security. Camille Chalmers is an economist with the Haitian Platform for Development Alternatives.
Parce qu'on a vu pratiquement 1 500 000 personnes dans les rues qui ont eu la capacité de s'auto-organiser pour répondre à la crise. Et ils ont partagé tout ce qu'ils avaient, ils ont partagé leur nourriture, ils ont partagé leurs vêtements, ils ont partagé leur couverture. Et je pense que c'est un exemple extrêmement important qui doit être utilisé dans la reconstruction, qui doit être utilisé dans la possibilité d'un autre avenir.
This is a parking area of the school, okay? But now it's a house of the people. But the security, we got two in day, two in night, okay? We make a change.
Si nous avons quelqu'un qui va venir ici nous donner quelque chose, donc on s'arrange pour faire d'abord passer le message. Une fois que tout le monde sait que quelqu'un va venir pour donner quelque chose et que tout le monde trouvera, donc comme ça, on s'arrange pour rester en ordre parce qu'on sait que même lorsqu'on est derrière, juste de derrière, on va quand même trouver.
As much as Haitians have been fending for themselves, the need for help from outside is massive. Both the UN mission to Haiti, known as MINUSTAH, and the US military, which has been operating the port and the airport, have been under fire for prioritizing security over the quick delivery of aid. Haiti's Prime Minister, Jean-Max Bellerive, told us he worries that the fixation with security could turn into a self-fulfilling prophecy.
When I'm in the meetings, exactly what I'm trying to convey to my partners, MINUSTAH, or American or Canadians. I understand your point of view, but my point of view is that some sort of sense of urgency. Until now, the Haitian population is very calm. Don't wait until you have really to react and take care of a security problem.
You're going to have friction as you have a high priority need to be met. We work through that very effectively, and I think the people of Haiti feel the effects that are being delivered.
They don't care about the security organization. They just want the water, the food, the medics get to them. And they don't care, and they don't feel that there is a need of so much security. So they're just asking why all that food, all that water is still at the airport or in the storage facilities.
We are out with the people. We are living with the people. We are delivering aid to the people. So I can't speak for the Prime Minister.
You're not saying the Prime Minister's not telling the truth.
I can only say you should judge for yourself what you have seen in Haiti, what I see in Haiti when I go about and support our operations here, and that is U.S. forces where they're needed, delivering aid to the people.
We accompanied the U.S. Navy on a recent food distribution to the town of Jérémy. With thousands of hungry people waiting and only a handful of soldiers and U.S. civilians on the ground, it was not exactly a scene of calm. But it was clear that local community leaders were key to getting food in the hands of the people. Prime Minister Bellerive says NGOs and foreign governments are having trouble getting it.
We are going to keep trying to explain them, if you want to have some success, you have to work with the Haitian at every level.
While the disaster has sparked generosity and global goodwill, it has also magnified a long-standing trend. Foreign organizations and governments bringing their own priorities and interests to the job of helping Haiti.
For decades, all has been done to weaken the Haitian state. And now everybody is screaming bloody murder. The Haitian state is too weak to handle this situation.
The state in Haiti used to include major public companies: rice, flour, electricity, telephones. Today, after decades of privatization and pressure from the U.S. and international financial institutions, control of those businesses has moved offshore. Haiti is dependent on expensive imports for food and other essentials. Facing a reconstruction project of epic proportions, the country is poorly positioned to build its own future. Let's take one concrete example.
Oui, donc il y avait une entreprise publique qui produisait du ciment et qui en 1997 a été privatisée. Actuellement, nous avons une situation où les décisions sont prises par les propriétaires des multinationales et qui essaient de maximiser leurs profits.
We have a company from Colombia, we have a company from Mexico, And so they will provide the cement. So cement, we don't produce the cement here. What we do is, I mean, we import the clinker and we import, and then we package the cement here.
Donc ça, la cimenterie d'Haïti a l'histoire d'un échec et c'est qui va peser très lourd dans le cadre de la reconstruction.
We're going to have large construction companies which are already contacting us because the investments are going to be huge, so it's going to be attractive for any company.
Rebuilding Haiti will clearly be big business, business largely led by outsiders. So now the question is whether the country's self-sufficiency could be rebuilt at the same time. And that is a debate about the economic plan for Haiti, one that was already in motion before the earthquake hit.
Haiti had a plan before the earthquake, and it was inching along on that plan. So they are already focused on how do we come back to that plan, obviously recognizing it'll have to be revised because of the devastation.
Haiti's poverty reduction strategy is intended to diversify its economy, but the centerpiece is a special relationship with one country and one industry.
To spur the creation of jobs, the United States passed the HOPE Act of 2006 to give garments made in Haiti tariff-free access to U.S. markets. Last October, we did extend this trade preference for another decade. Apparel is one of the largest sectors in Haiti's economy, and we see great possibility for job creation in this field.
In the wake of the earthquake, the push is on to increase that business fivefold, boosting employment in apparel factories from 25,000 to 150,000.
The HOPE law is going to go into 2018. So we have a window of opportunity, and we have to create that opportunity right now. It was needed before, and it's much needed now.
Et ce que disent les ouvriers, c'est tout à fait une autre histoire. Et il y a beaucoup d'ouvriers, par exemple, qui ont travaillé avec nous dans cet atelier en novembre 2008 à Wanamet, qui nous disent qu'ils ont carrément, malgré le fait qu'ils ont des salaires plus bas, qu'ils ont décidé de ne plus travailler dans la factory à cause de cette surexploitation, à cause du fait que leur vie individuelle était complètement ruinée, qu'il n'y avait aucun moyen d'avoir une vie familiale, et à cause de l'indignation soulevée par la surexploitation des femmes.
High noon. And a crowd has gathered at the site of the Palm Apparel Factory. When the quake hit at 4:53 p.m. on January 12, more than 1,000 people were in this building. According to the factory owner, the only survivors were those who jumped from the third floor. That makes this one of the disaster's deadliest sites. Although it's clear from the smell that there are still bodies in the wreckage, the recovery of corpses is over now. It's t-shirts that are being pulled from the rubble. People begin to scavenge.
We've heard from a lot of employees here today that...
Shots are fired overhead. The crowd is chased from the site, and the salvage operation gets back to work. We talked to a number of former workers. They claim that practices at the factory may have contributed to the death toll, because they were routinely kept late to meet production quotas.
They always end up staying 20, 30 minutes later, sometimes even 45 minutes. Sometimes you have to tell them, get out, don't stay, go home, go see your family. But it's just that these are poor people, they're making a living, and the job is good for them. This is why they stay and make the extra money.
On va qu'à lever sous machine et nous superviser. On va qu'à lever. Et après beaucoup, et au bout du campé, même il des parfois chef de campé pour la barre ou pour donc pour pas sortir faire mes balles, ça va fait.
Cette crise du tremblement de terre, les différentes pertes en vies humaines qui ont été enregistrées dans les factories permettent de voir les conditions de travail abominables dans lesquelles œuvre cette classe ouvrière et le fait qu'effectivement il y a tout un processus d'allongement de la journée de travail pour avoir des profits extrêmement importants. Donc encore une fois, ceci met le doigt sur une des plaies du modèle dominant et la nécessité d'avoir tout à fait une autre vision de l'économie, une autre vision de la croissance.
Long before the earthquake, factory pay was a hot topic in Haiti. Last year, President René Préval imposed a minimum wage of $3 a day, despite pressure from protests and striking workers. That paved the way for a foreign investors conference hosted by UN envoy Bill Clinton, and plans for new factories followed. This time around, there is no public discussion of raising wages for factory workers.
Mais jusqu'à maintenant, il y a mon fils qui est à l'intérieur. Ici, on ne peut rien faire, mais il est resté coincé, il est étouffé.
This time around, most Haitians are in no position to debate the economic model that will shape their future.
Elle a passé 3 jours.
Daybreak in Haiti's Central Plateau, a fertile land of lakes, mountains, and family farms. The Haiti you never see on TV. Thirty years ago, this country grew almost all the rice it could eat. Then, trade policies ripped apart this way of life. Farmers lost their price protections, and cheap imports flooded the country. Farming was no longer economically viable for the majority. And so farmers left the land en masse, went to the city, swelling the slum population of Port-au-Prince, building houses on hillsides, finding work, if any, in the informal economy or factories making clothing for export.
Bon, la ville pas de jambe de bien parce que bon mon c'est misère la passer dans factory et les autres venir les en moi pour te bailler 90 bout président pas de blé.
After the earthquake, with hunger and homelessness reigning in the city, hundreds of thousands of Haitians are going back to the countryside, reversing the decades-old pattern of migration. As billions of dollars begin to flow into rebuilding Haiti, the question for them is, what kind of future can they hope to find here? We travel up into the mountains, 2.5 hours by mule, to visit a summit of peasant organizations, gathered to discuss their response to the disaster.
Mais t'as pris du travail à Caïmo. Ligue en pile moyen qui est entré pour reconstruction. Nous tendons, nous parlons. Et n'habitons tendons, nous parlons.
Amazon Gerard is the president of the federation hosting this meeting.
Moun qui t'a produit, donc vient dans la situation pour t'a produit plus. Parce que pour le gagner, tout le monde qui t'a vivre dans la capitale là, qui tout ça a fini et puis il y a venu en dehors. C'est vrai, n'a parlé de décentralisation, il n'y a pas qu'à faire. Ça veut dire qu'il faut qu'ils déconcentrer pour vrai l'État pour être capable de venir en dehors.
The people who hit the road and gone back to their original village or region, these are going to have to be offered not only not a refugee camp, but a new community with the opportunities for work, for creation of wealth that should go with a community.
But what kind of work, and how should that wealth be created? Haiti's current plan, backed by international financial institutions, calls for a familiar model of growth through serving foreign markets, tourism, exports of fruit and textiles. But there's an alternative to these grand schemes, one that builds an economy by meeting the needs of local people. It started with free healthcare.
That's what we have been doing for the last 20 years, you know, working closely to this community and to heal
their voice and to see how we can work together. And now they got access to this healthcare, you know, and they got access to some potable water, and they got access, we try, you know, to help to this, some social service like building houses for some of patients.
Partners in Health began as a small clinic here in the town of Kanj in the 1980s. It was co-founded by Paul Farmer, now Deputy UN Envoy to Haiti. That clinic is now this full-service hospital, which also has a school and programs in art, music, and job training. Partners in Health now has 10 hospitals, 26 public schools, and a huge network of community workers throughout the country.
Partners in Health is many things. We're a clinical system. We do education, food, water, agriculture. We're a broad community organization. But at the root of it, we're an employment agency. We have over 4,000 employees. 100 of those are Haitian docs. 200 of those are Haitian nurses and nurse auxiliaries. The vast majority are community health workers. Every single one of them is paid at a wage that's respectful.
Over time, this health project has grown into a quiet, rural revolution that touches every aspect of life. The latest is a pilot project in agriculture. Rather than just feeding people, it helps them farm. Agronomist Stenio Louis Jeune sees this model as a clear alternative to an economy of factory work in crowded cities.
Bon, on peut toujours avoir sous-traitance, mais on ne doit pas prioriser la sous-traitance. Parce que Haïti est un pays rural. C'est un pays essentiellement agricole. Nous avons 6 mois de pluie. Avec 6 mois de pluie, on peut réaliser, on peut faire miracle dans l'agriculture. Et nous avons aussi les eaux qui se gaspillent. Nous avons la terre qui est toujours en vacante. Nous avons la main-d'œuvre agricole. Donc si nous exploitons tout ça, donc Haïti quand même serait un pays riche parmi les pays riches du monde.
We can create tens and thousands of jobs for people who will do caregiving, work at the bedside, be the leg for somebody whose leg's cut off. If you want to make stimulus and you want to make recovery in Haiti, create jobs. Work from the bottom up. That's what our organization's been able to do.
Despite this Made in Haiti success story, bottom-up plans are not high on the reconstruction agenda. Haiti's government and international agencies look at the 450 self-organized refugee camps in Port-au-Prince and see huge challenges in providing food, sanitation, and shelter. But these new communities, born of desperation, could also be something else. A source of collective wisdom. A place to hear the voices of the people who want a say in building their country back.
Dans beaucoup de camps, les gens parlent beaucoup de solidarité, ils parlent beaucoup de fraternité, ils parlent beaucoup d'échanges solidaires. Et réfléchir sur ce que c'est que l'économie solidaire, réfléchir sur comment des gens qui ne se connaissent pas, on peut vivre ensemble et s'organiser, résoudre les problèmes de base, hein, à partir d'une situation exceptionnelle qui a permis de redécouvrir que nous sommes tous des Haïtiens, nous partageons des éléments d'une même culture, et à partir de cette base, on peut recréer la vie et continuer vers d'autres chemins.
Even though I'm not a believer in any religion, but I know that every religion believes in the notion of sacrifice. People are to die for people to live. And our dead died for us to live. We have to feed off their spirit, understand their message, understand that they could no longer live in this environment and in these circumstances and these conditions, and they died so that we could pick up that strong message.
A I'm gonna shake like a violent rainstorm. I'm gonna fill the night with splashing. I'm gonna sit like a solar confluence. I'm gonna gallop in the inner basin. I'm gonna drink from the new molasses. I'm gonna rub my body with palm oil. I'm gonna stuff my bones with charcoal. I'm gonna paint myself with arrows. I'm gonna click my bottles together. I'm gonna zigzag over and under. I'm gonna reach for the solar cycle. Gonna swirl up through the rapids. Gonna wail and higher, 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 higher. I'm gonna shake like a violent rainstorm. I'm gonna fill the night with splashing. I'm gonna sit like a zona confluence. I'm gonna gallop in the inner basin. I'm gonna drink from the new molasses. I'm gonna rub my body with palm oil. Gonna stuff my bones with charcoal. Gonna paint myself with arrows. Gonna click my bottles together. Gonna zigzag over and under. Reach for the solar cycle. Swirl up through the rapids. Wail and point the wailings. Stand like a wall of protection, move like a desert darkness, push out further and further and further and further, and press in closer and closer, and dive down deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, then kick up higher, higher, higher.
And you're listening to Saturday Morning Live. This is Mally, a.k.a. DocuVixen. And you were listening to, it was a documentary made a couple of years ago. And it was called The Politics of Rebuilding. And it was a Fault Lines documentary. And it was narrated by Avi Lewis. I just wanted to apologize for... there was French and Creole in there, but you know, everybody should learn Creole anyway. So, anyway, and hopefully in the upcoming weeks, we will get people talking, about Haiti and the situation, that's going on right now. Not a lot has changed. Details have changed, players have changed, but, there's still about 400,000 people still homeless in Haiti. And I keep getting report back from people who are on the ground there. So hopefully we can do a series and sort of relook at that. But anyway, that was the...